Hi, it's Paul Camilos. Welcome to Series 6 of Shooting the Breeze. Join me and my co-host Jacinta Govind alongside the STB crew as we cover women's hoops and women in hoops. We'll share conversations and get a little deeper with inspiring players, amazing coaches and the legends from behind the scenes. Especially in this series, we'll be talking to dream chasers that give it their all and lead with their heart.
And I thought the girls did a great job, you know, in game two, our backs against the wall, you know, we're walking into Perth and they're practicing giving the trophy to them and all this sort of stuff. So that the pressure was pretty extreme. So must I say that gave us a little bit of motivation when I
heard
that. I thought, well, that's not how we want it to go.
Big congratulations to Coach Cheryl Chambers and the Southside Flyers on a hard-fought WNBL 24 championship. We're having a fireside chat with a real player's coach in Cheryl as we reflect on one of the most extraordinarily close WNBL seasons in recent memory. We talk about some difference makers alongside her coaching approach and a first look at the Seven Consulting Australian Opals extended squad just announced for the Paris 24 Olympics in late July. Enjoy. Cheryl, you know, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. It's been a while since we've had an opportunity to just talk about stuff. In fact, it's probably been years since we've had a chance to do that.
Well, it's been a busy few years. Well, years seem busy these days, don't they?
They sure do. I got to say, this year, I think, and I mean, we say it every year, but this year, I think the WNBL had the closest and toughest fought season that I can remember ever. How did you see it? And more importantly, as a head coach, how hard was it to keep a team motivated to stay in the mix when, you know, the results were all over the shop, like, as they were?
Yeah, look, I think looking back, I mean, it's only been a week, so, you know, I don't want to lose the euphoria, but you're right, this year has been such an up and down, and you know, I'm sure all head coaches and coaches in general are probably feeling that it was a, you know, one of the difficult seasons. You know, we did a lot of work on our culture and stuff like that, which I think was something that was really important and helped us, you know, continue to look at what was ahead of us instead of, you know, down the track too much all the time. So yeah, it was a difficult year and a close year. I think some of the games would have been great to sit and watch because, you know, the talent was up. We had some great imports and great players coming back in the league. So, yeah, a real unique season. You know, I've not been involved with a season where you lose on your home court by way too many points and then you have to go to the opposition's court and get a must win over the, you know, back to it. So it was pretty full on and exciting.
Yeah, I suppose the thing that really surprised me was when you look at the ladder, and particularly right down to the last round, nobody knew who was going to be in that final four until the last game the whistle blew.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely. You know, we didn't know who was finishing first, second, third, fourth, fifth sort of thing. So, you know, it was pretty exciting, so which I think was good for the theatre of basketball. You know, people are having to watch right up to the last game to figure out where everyone is.
Yeah. It's for me, it was sitting back and watching some of the games, it was just one of the best seasons we've ever had. And you've touched on it, your three game final series. It was really interesting. I mean, you started off, Perth came out of the gates hard. I mean, like really hard. And I think at one point you guys were down like 27 at one point in that game before it ended at 20 with a 22 point break. I mean, yeah, look, Perth were a good team and they were fighting hard, but was that result like a real surprise to you, the way they came out and they fought?
Oh, no, not a surprise. I mean, their game style is if they shoot well and you're not great at defending that, you know, they're going to put points on the board pretty quickly, you know. So As soon as their game plan started to roll out and we couldn't seem to do anything about it, you know, at that stage of the game, you know, I think we put things in place and tried to fix it for the next one. But it doesn't surprise me. No, they're a high-scoring team that plays that sort of basketball. So probably, you know, we were really flat. That surprised me. I didn't think that we would come out in the first grand final game so flat. Which was something that we needed to address pretty quickly. And I thought the girls did a great job, you know, in game two, our backs against the wall. You know, we're walking into Perth and they're practicing giving the trophy to them and all this sort of stuff, so that, you know, the pressure was pretty extreme. So must I say that gave us a little bit of motivation when I
came in and heard
that. I thought, well, that's not how we want it to go. But, yeah, no, it was a crazy final series.
Yeah, and look, game two was a real stunner. I mean, you know, 2 points, yeah, the last 6 seconds. You couldn't have asked for a better one. And I was really seriously going, oh, man, if this goes to OT, then it's going to come down to who's got the legs to make it through an extra period, because it was a hard-fought game.
Yeah, it was. It was physical. It was all those things that you love in finals. Yeah. You know, it was physical. It was high emotion. You know, it was dramatic. There were lots of stuff going on here and there. And so, yeah, no, it would have been it was certainly stressful until about the last whatever seconds. There was nothing we could do on the bench. We just had to watch it unfold in that last little phase. And luckily for us, it went on our side.
Now, I've got to ask you, that's got to be the worst, surely, sitting there with like seconds to go and you're just waiting to see how it washes up.
Yeah, well, I guess that's part of it, isn't it? As coaching, you can get it to a point. There was, you know, we couldn't get a timeout. We wouldn't have got a sub. It was pretty much, you know, those last whatever was just trying to yell some instructions, and then it was, you know, after the girls on the floor. And, you know, credit to Leilani Mitchell to bat that ball onto Mercedes. I mean, yeah, that's such a experience savvy thing to do, and without that it would have gone to overtime. So you know, and for Mercedes to hit that shot was pretty special too.
Oh, if absolutely. I mean, I know we were watching the game, and as soon as it happened the whole place erupted. Because,
well, from where we were, because we only probably had about 20 supporters in the whole of the stadium, and the rest of the stadium was so loud all game, and it felt like when that went on, it was like you could hear a pin drop that just went quiet. That, you know, the fans were stunned, the teams were stunned. You know, there was a few seconds of absolute silence where everyone had to process what had just happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously it wasn't in their script, particularly after, you know, the result from game one.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So this was your fourth championship, third as a head coach and once as a player. And I want to ask you, when you think back, you know, that first championship with the Flames, did you think back then that not that many years later you'd be sitting here in the position that you're sitting in?
No, I'm really lucky, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, after the Flames, I'd come back home, and it really was just a decision about being at home and being with family. And, you know, I didn't really know whether I would coach, you know, in the WNBL again. And so I'm really blessed that the opportunity, you know, came up with Jerry and the Flyers. So, no, I wouldn't have thought it back then at all, for sure.
I've got to be honest, one of the players that really impressed me during the series, and she wasn't at the top of the leaderboard all the way through, but was really a solid performer and actually was all season, was Maddie Rocci. How important is it having a player like that who can help to anchor a team? Because, I mean, you know, you've got Maddie and you've got Lay, and that's a pretty solid anchor to be able to drive the team from.
And they really help each other and highlight each other's strengths and you know, play really well together. But Maddie's been great. She's been working on her game, working really hard. You know, I look at the years that she's been with us, you know, she's improved a lot of her, you know, ball handling, her IQ, her three-point shot. So, you know, she has been a huge anchor, and I thought she was great. You know, game three, she really set the pace for us, you know, because we often get targeted, you know, not playing fast or whatever, because we've got old legs. But in fact, we actually are able to play. I mean, we scored 111 points. So you have to play at some pace to be able to score that. And I think Maddie was, you know, instrumental in helping us do that.
And she's also got this ability to kind of get under the skin of various players of the opposition.
She has. It's a little bit of the Italian blood in her, I say. You know, she certainly, you know, she stands for what she stands for, and she'll, you know, fight till the death. So it's a lovely quality. Sometimes you've got to rein it in. But, you know, it's a great quality to have.
Yeah, look, obviously there were a couple of times across the season where she would get herself in a foul trouble. As a coach, what would you say to her when she's sort of getting into those situations to try and keep her in the game as long as possible?
Oh, look, you know, we tried a lot of tactics and things that worked and didn't work with her. I mean, trying to get her to stay in the moment, not in the emotion, to think next phase and not worry about the emotion, because that was usually what would get her caught up. So we tried to work with her to try and keep her in the moment and thinking next play, next play.
Okay. So there are a couple of real standouts apart from Maddie in the team this season. First up, the most obvious one, LJ, seventh ring, and she was amazing to watch all season. You know, it's as a coach, how do you deal with a player like LJ? Because, I mean, you know, the IQ, the experience, what do you do?
Oh, look, I think Loz and I have a really great relationship. We both really respect each other, and, you know, so I guess with her is to be upfront and honest with everything. I mean, communication is really important, especially to experienced players, so that they can understand where you're coming from. And, you know, we set that up pretty early. I mean, Lauren, being the competitor that she is, game one wanted to be, you know, the Lauren of what she was at the end of the season. And she was coming off an Achilles and a foot surgery. So it was important for us to, A, look after her and make sure that we didn't just throw her out there and injure her, and try and give her enough time for her, you know, the muscle memory and all that sort of stuff to come back, which, as you could see, I mean, as the season went on and down the last month of the season, I mean, you could just, LJ, you know, she looked like she was 20 again, didn't she? She was running. At one stage, I said, you just chased down a loose ball, and we had a bit of a giggle about it. But she's, you know, she's moving really well, and back to that, she knows when she's got the ball and she can turn over that shoulder that it's going in, sort of thing. So, I love coaching Loz, because, you know, everything that comes out of her mouth is about winning. So, you know, if you start at that level, you know, good things happen.
Yeah, and the other thing that was interesting was she wasn't scared to put her body on the line sometimes, and she played tough, really tough.
Well, I think that's, if you have an adjective to describe Lauren Jackson, she's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, she's made a comeback after 8 years out. She's come back after Achilles surgery, where most young players would take more than a year, and she's done it in way less. She is tough. That is one thing that Lauren is. She's tough. She's tough on the boards. She's tough, you know, everywhere she goes.
And the other player that really stood out for me was Bec Cole. I mean, she stepped into the role of captain. She seemed to wear that mantle so well. And if there was any player in the team that, you know, when you're sitting back and watching on TV, where you could see how much she wanted the win, how much she wanted to put into the game, she was right up there.
Yeah, well, she's a winner, isn't she? And she does it in that flamboyant style. She loves it. You can see that, you know, big play happens, and she's all around it. So that was really important for our team to have that, you know, to link us all together, to have someone who's just going to enjoy the moment and, you know, rally the troops around her. And, you know, she's been great. And our last final series, she was great too, when we lost to Townsville, unfortunately. But, you know, I think she was great at holding the team together, and, you know, had learned that, you know, everyone has to sacrifice a little bit to get a championship. You can't have everything, you know, on a plate. Things are going to go wrong. And, you know, I thought she did a great job of learning all those things.
Have you ever in your career seen somebody step into that role the way she did this season for the first time and basically take it to the level that she did?
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, you know, that's why we made her a captain, because she's got wonderful leadership qualities, and she's, I was so proud and happy that at the end she got to hold the cup up, that at the end it was like it had all come together, and I was really happy and proud for her that she got that moment as the captain of our Flyers.
Okay, now finally the Opal squad was announced, and it was a pretty spectacular list of names, and it shows the depth of talent that we've got in Australia. But it was interesting seeing Lauren Jackson's name on the list, given, Paris is not an option. And I know we, after the game at Qdos Bank Arena, we saw her and we had a bit of a chat to her as she was leaving the stadium, and she was saying that she was really tired. What was behind the shift?
Oh, look, I think, you mean when we left Brazil?
Yeah.
It was a pretty emotional point, the end of those qualifiers, because, she'd been in a season where, she's got kids starting school, so the boys weren't with her in Melbourne the entire time. She had great support with her mum, and then leaving them to go to Brazil, I think that was just a real emotional thing. And then we qualified. It was like, I've ticked that box and I'm done. But I don't know whether it was, I'm done forever. I'm just done right now, I think. So, and time will tell how it all unfolds and how she recovers from the season. And, but it nothing surprises me with Loz. She's just a competitor. She just can set her mind to stuff and get things done. So, I think it's just a wonderful story.
And it's not too far off. It's only a few more months before Paris. Crazy. It's, time's flying. How have the coaching staff for the Opals been sort of starting to plan what you're going to do and what's happening in terms of trials and camps?
Yeah, look, it is difficult because the WNBA, as you know, starts and is right in that preparation area. So it will be difficult. But, I think like we're leading into Sydney and that sort of things, that we're just going to have to find a way to marry the group in Australia and the group, in the WNBA. We physically, it's going to be difficult because we're probably not going to be able to get together until, shortly before the Olympics with all the WNBA players. But we will get to work here and be working with all the players here. I don't know if it's all sealed, but we've got some tours. We're going to go on a couple of tours. I don't know how much I can say and whether they're out in the open right now, but we do have a schedule, here that we will be having the group that is not in the WNBA, and then we'll have to be creative using Zooms and, keeping the connection between the two groups as we head into Paris.
Okay. Well, Cheryl, thanks so much for joining us and giving us a bit of a background view into what's happened over the season and a little bit about the Opals. And it's really good talking to you, just kind of sitting down and chatting rather than, a couple of minutes here and there before or after a game.
Correct, running from one spot to another. Yeah, no, it is. It's good. And I think it's important that we sit and we reflect and talk to other basketball people because, you guys are the ones that help us get, help us promote our game. So it's always great to sit down and have a chat.
Great. Thanks so much, Cheryl.
No worries. Thanks, Paul.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.